friend. I put a little slide up here, show a little Matt humor. So this morning I want to talk to us about daring to be different, though. Pastor Mike had actually made that 70s thing when he was getting frustrated, I think, waiting on me for website information a few years ago. So he put that on the website for a while. They photoshopped it, so I just used it today. But I want to talk to you about daring to be different. According to Pew Research Center, roughly 89% of all Americans say they believe in God. 89% of Americans. Almost 71% profess to be Christians. And really, this should sound exciting that 71% of Americans profess to be Christians, but if you look at our country and how it is going morally and how it's been going morally, I question the fact of how 71% could proclaim to be Christians right now. I mean, we are living in a country right now where Christianity is basically tolerated. You know, I realize that in other countries where the missionaries are right now, they may not have it as, they have it a lot worse than what we have it right now. Basically, a lot of ours is just verbal bashing and stuff like that. But Christianity is just tolerated in this country right now. We're made to feel weird for saying Merry Christmas to somebody or just saying God bless you. They make us feel weird for doing that. We're considering an extreme to have morals in this country right now. I mean, think about our police officers right now. They're paid to defend us. They go in and to work every day, and they're not sure if they're going to live or not. I mean, to be able to pull somebody over for getting a speeding ticket and wonder if you're going to be shot during it. It's just crazy some of the stuff that's going on right now. It almost seems to me if 71% of this country is saying that we're professing to be Christians, it's almost like we have one foot in with God and then one foot still out in the world. And there's a problem with that, and it's actually a scary problem. Revelation 3, verse 15 and 16 says, I know you well, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were one or the other. But since you are merely lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. God doesn't want anything to do with somebody that's lukewarm. He would rather us be cold and not serving him at all. That way he can convict you and bring you in. Or be hot, where you're excelling in our Christian walk, going after God with all we got, excited about serving him. But when we're lukewarm, we're just going about our day-to-day riding a fence, trying to walk a line, so to speak, and kind of being in between. And really, this morning, I just want to dare us to be different. To be different in our lives. He wants us, really, God wants us to be parched for him, thirsty, hungry for him, just wanting more and more of him. He doesn't want us just going through our life day to day being the same, but he wants more from us. You know, this past year, my family started watching the Olympics on TV. My oldest daughter, Elizabeth, over here, she's been swimming competitively for the last few years, so she was interested in watching some of the events of that. And then with me being a cyclist, I liked watching the cycling events. So we were watching some of the Olympics this year. And one of the highlights things that we were wanting to watch was Michael Phelps, obviously. I think most people in here know who Michael Phelps is. He's the most decorated Olympian of all times. We were anxious to watch the events he was swimming in. And I recently read an article by Glenn Beck, and then I also seen one by ESPN, about Michael Phelps, just telling the story about him. In 2012, he had decided that he was going to retire from the Olympics. He got done with competing in the Olympics, went home, and didn't know what to do with himself. He had put so much of his effort in his teens, his 20s, most of his life he had lived into swimming. Gave everything he had to swimming. He came home, retired, and didn't know what to do. And he started spiraling down a slope. In fact, in his words, he said, I was a train wreck. I was like a time bomb waiting to go off. I had no self-esteem, no self-worth. There were times where I didn't even want to be here. It was no good. I felt lost. And like a lot of people that are struggling with this issue, he turned to drinking and began to start drinking. Until one day in September of 2014, Michael Phelps was pulled over and got a DUI for drinking and was arrested and put in jail. And you think that would have been enough to change him, but it didn't. He still started to withdraw from his family and friends and began to go into a deep depression and thought about killing himself. Yes, the Olympic champion, Michael Phelps, thought about killing himself. And a friend of his that he considered like an older brother convinced him to go to rehab. He went into rehab, and when he was going in, his friend gave him a book called The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren. The book changed Phelps' life. In fact, in his words, he said, within a few days, Phelps called Lewis and told him, man, this book is crazy. The things that are going on in my life, oh my gosh, my brain, I cannot thank you enough, man. You saved my life. Phelps didn't have a purpose in his life, and he found purpose because he found God. As Phelps told ESPN, Rick Warren's book turned me into believing there is a power greater than myself and there is a purpose for me on this planet. I thought that was a good story, and really, because with a renewed vision and passion, Michael came back from retirement and competed in the 2016 Olympics, winning an additional 5 gold medals and 1 silver. Today, his overall career, he spanned 5 Olympics with 28 medals, 23 of them are gold. Pretty awesome thing. Just to put that in perspective, no other athlete in any sport has more than 9 gold medals in the Olympics. That just shows you what kind of awesome feat there it is. And to top it off, he went back in the last one, he was a believer in God. But Michael Phelps, during his whole life, he dared to be different. A couple things to tell you about him. He had ADHD when he was a kid, attention deficit. I'm a hillbilly trying to say this. Attention deficiency hyperactivity disorder, ADHD, he had. Had to take Ritalin for years for it. A teacher once told him that he would never be successful at anything. Shame on her. As a boy, his arms started growing longer, faster than his whole body. So he had long arms that were down past his knees before his body started growing, and the kids all made fun of him in his class. And it was when his parents divorced that he decided to pour his refuge, his attention into something, so he began to start swimming. I thought the story was interesting for several reasons this morning. One is Michael Phelps overcame a lot of obstacles in his life, a lot of what people said, and he made something of himself. He dared to be different from everybody else. He could have went about the same way of everybody else doing anything, everything, but he didn't. He succeeded in life. And now he's succeeding with God. You know, another thing that really associated with me with this story was the fact that his friend that came to his rescue. It reminded me a lot of my life. You know, I was raised in church and Assembly of God. I've told many of you this. Raised in church and Assemblies of God. I fell away from God when I was 20. Played in the bars. Was living in an ungodly relationship. Playing music in the bars and stuff like that, and my life got completely away from God, and God used a 4-year-old boy to come get me. So God can use us when we're cold, he can do it, but he hates it when we're lukewarm and we're just going through life as lukewarm. So this morning, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to Romans chapter 12. We're going to look at 2 verses that you're all familiar with, I'm sure. It's for Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. If you don't have your Bibles, I'll have it up on the screen for you here. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. In verse 2, if you notice that, it says, the word conform. Do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word conform means to be similar or identical. The desire to be like somebody else, afraid to be different, feels a need to be like everyone else. You know, we've all conformed in our life. I think back when I was a teenager, I had to have the name brand shoes because all my friends have it. They were all Nike at that day. And then we had to have the name brand shirts. We had to have the name brand pants. I wanted to fit in, even my hair when I had hair. If you look down at my friends, we all had mullets. Short hair in the front, long in the back. Party in the front, or business in the front, party in the back. That's what they say. All my friends had that. We were teenagers of the 80s. I think there was a youth pastor here that had the same thing. So, yeah, might have been. Me and him are just a few years apart, so. But we all wanted to be like each other. I was trying so hard to be different, trying to be cool, but I didn't realize I was just being like all my friends. I was being exactly like my friends. I was conforming to them. I was being similar. And conforming is not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, just being here in this building this morning, we're all conforming. We're here with one purpose. We're worshiping God, and we're learning more about God. So conforming is not necessarily a bad thing because we're all here doing it. But what God says in this verse is that we are not to conform to this world, not to be like them. Just because the world thinks it's okay to kill a baby that's in a mom's womb doesn't mean that we should think that way. You know, just because the world believes that it's okay to have sex before marriage doesn't mean that we should think that way. Just because our news media now thinks that celebrity gossip is the mainstream news. I mean, I click on Yahoo now and I'm like, I don't care what that person's doing. I mean, I wanted to see what the weather was like and see what's going on in the world, not what's going on with somebody's life. But that's gossip. Just because the world believes it's okay doesn't mean that we should. And God's saying, do not conform to the world. Don't be like the world. You know, and a neat thing for us as Christians is we know right from wrong. We have that little voice in our head, the Holy Spirit speaking to us. I mean, we've all been given a portion of the Holy Spirit. He speaks to us, and when we sin, the Holy Spirit is quick to remind us of what we've done to make, so we can make things right. This scripture not only states that we shouldn't be conforming to the world, but it has a couple other things that I want to point out to you this morning. First of all, in verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That word presenting, that line, presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, is basically like asking the Lord to take our lives, purify us and cleanse us from sin, and use us for his glory. There's a scripture out there that says, Psalms 139, 23 through 24 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Basically, what the scripture is just saying is, Lord, I need you to clean me up. Making a sacrifice of yourself and saying, Lord, I need you. I need you in my life. I need you to help me make it each day. And continuously asking him, Lord, I need you. I need more of you. Help me, Lord. Clean me up. And another thing that presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice is denying ourselves. We live in an indulgent society where we want everything now. But denying ourselves, our thoughts, those unclean thoughts that try to pop into our head, maybe those thoughts of maybe being mean to somebody that was mean to us, or maybe thinking a perverse thought about somebody else. Keeping those thoughts and denying ourselves and really trying to keep them under control and asking the Lord to help us. That's another way to be a living sacrifice to the Lord. And obeying God's will. Just basically getting up and doing in action what God has asked us to do. Doing what God's asked us to do in our life. If he asks us to do something, go and do it. That's what being living a sacrifice is. It's just being submitted to the Lord and say, Lord, I need more of you. Well, we talked about conforming to the world as well as presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice. But in verse 2, it says another thing. It says, after it says, do not conform to this world, but be transformed by what? Renewing your mind. What's some ways that we can renew our mind? Well, one, by waiting on the Lord. Isaiah 40:31 says a verse that we've all sang in this place. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait. And my daughter's laughing at me while I'm doing that. Thanks, Elizabeth. There's something to be said about waiting on the Lord. Spending time in prayer. Spending time just worshiping and just waiting on the Lord. Turning off our devices, our iPads, our iPhones, our little devices like this. Our phones, our TVs, our radios, and just being in the Lord's presence. It's renewing. It's refreshing. It's just a chance really just to spend time with the Lord. And it renews our mind. And a second thing that renews our mind is reading God's Word. And really, I think, quite frankly, this is the majority of our problems today in this world, is we do not read enough of God's Word. You know, Pastor Joe says it quite a bit. I'm sure all of you have heard him. He said a few weeks ago, numerous times he puts in so much Word in his sermons he preaches because he knows a lot of people simply do not read during the week. We need the Word of God in our life. There are so many things the Word of God does, and I'm going to go through a few of them real quick here. God's Word helps us to live right. Psalm 119:11 says, "Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee." Simple scripture, but I really identify with that. I found in my own life that the Word of God, the more I put of the Word of God in my life, the more likely I am to be able to withstand temptation from sin. Did I say I'm not able to? I still get tempted, but when I have the Word of God in my life and that's a part of my life, I'm not necessarily having as much of a difficulty with temptation. But when I'm not putting the Word of God in my life every day, then it's a battle. It's a battle to do right. So it's important that we put the Word of God in our life because it helps us to live right. Another thing that God's Word does is it helps us to build faith. Romans 10:17, we all know the scripture. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. You know, we've all been given a measure of faith when we've given our life to the Lord. But it's up to us to build on that faith. And how do we build on that faith? By reading the Word of God. You know, if somebody needs you to pray, or if you have a need in your life and you need to pray for something, you need the Word of God in your life. If you don't have the Word of God in your life, you're going to end up having to rely on somebody else to pray for you. It's great to have people pray for us, but it's also good that we can be able to pray for ourselves, and that's important that we build the faith up to be able to do that. So God's Word helps us to build faith. Another thing God's Word does is it brings wisdom and instruction. In Psalm 119:130, it says, "Thy entrance of thy words gives light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." And then Psalm 119:105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." I picture myself riding my bike down the road at night and not having the light on, and it's pure dark. And then when I put that light on, it's so bright that it lights the whole pathway up. Well, that's what God's Word does to us. We can be going in the dark, and we have God's Word in our life. It's a light to us. It gives us wisdom. It helps us to go on. So it's important that we have God's Word in our life to bring wisdom and instruction in our life. God's Word also brings comfort in time of need. It lifts our burden. You know, if we go through a loss of a loved one, if we have maybe somebody that's going through a hard situation in their life. If we turn to the Word of God and we're putting the Word of God in our life, it brings comfort. Psalm 119:28 says, "I weep with grief. My heart is heavy with sorrow. Encourage and cheer me with your words." God's Word in our life will bring peace to our life in hard situations. So it's important we put the Word of God in our life. Another thing God's Word does is it's life and health to our flesh. One of my favorite scriptures out there, Proverbs 4:20-22. It says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ears unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, but keep them in the midst of thy heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to our flesh." When you're putting the Word of God in your life, it's life to you. It brings life to situations. If you are bored with church, if you're bored doing things, the more Word of God you're putting in your life, the more on fire for God you're going to be. And it also is health to your flesh. "By your stripes we are healed. He sent his word and he healed us." There's scriptures all out there that deal with healing. I say all this morning is we need to be different. God's called us in this place to dare to be different, to be set apart, to be unlike anybody else. It doesn't matter what Joe Schmo that claims to be a Christian is. It matters about our life and what our life is to be as a Christian. And our life needs to be in line with God. And we can do that by spending time with Him, by putting His Word in our life and not conforming to the things of this world. This morning, if musicians go ahead and come forward. I want to close this morning with really just telling you an illustration about my dad. I was at my dad and mom's house in Indiana this weekend over Thanksgiving. And we do a combination like Christmas Thanksgiving dinner on the Black Friday day because of the fact that my mom and dad are snowbirds and they take off to Florida. And so we were doing that. And my sister had been walking through the store, Pier 1 Imports, and noticed a wreath that was made out of cotton. If you want to go ahead and put it up there, I don't know if you can tell. It was a cotton wreath that was made out of raw cotton. I realize that's probably not much to you guys. It doesn't mean much to you guys. But to my dad's from Arkansas. And my dad grew up working in cotton fields. And so I seen my dad got sentimental over it. And I've seen over the few years, over the course of my life, different things he would get would remind him of his past. He would work in the field all day and just to make money, not for him to go spend and do things, but to help his family out. And my dad was faced with a choice when he got out of school. He was faced with a choice of either staying and working for the rest of his life in cotton fields or to move away and try to find a job. My dad chose to be different, and I'm sure he was scared to do that, but he moved to Indiana. Ended up going into the Marines for 4 years, and then when he got out, he got a job in Indiana at the steel mill working at it. I know that was a scary move for my dad because of the fact that he didn't have any money. I mean, their family was very poor, but he did it. He dared to be different. And it was, I guess that impacted my life because of the fact that I just know it meant a lot to him. My dad was faced with a choice to make, move away from his parents to find work. Michael Phelps was faced with a choice to continue spiraling down the path that he was headed to make a turn in his life. And as Christians, we are all faced with a choice to conform to the things of the world or choose to be different from the world. And this morning, if you want to go ahead and we'll stand together.